Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Lisa and Nancy.
Well, hi, everyone. It's time for Chit Chat Cafe Live. I'm Nancy, and it's great to unwind and enjoy some chit chat with all of you. We've got a Halloween spectacular for you tonight. We're excited. Our first guest is Chris Williams of the sci-fi channel Ghost Hunters International. And later we're joined by Bridget Marco from the Girls Next Door and Roma Costumes. Lisa and Betty Ann, what a great day. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fun Halloween show.
I think I want to sleep with the lights on, though. Oh.
In our costumes, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, not only that, but, you know, there's so much happening in the news. Our hot topics tonight are filled with excitement. Girls, I can't believe this. Can you believe that man in Michigan who allegedly was too drunk to drive and let his 9-year-old daughter drive him?
He's a jackass. He should be shocked. What an idiot.
Yeah, that was pretty unbelievable. And actually, she's probably been driving for a really long time because she was really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you know, when they stopped at the gas station, the dad was on video bragging about what a good driver, and he has a chauffeur, his daughter's his chauffeur, and he bought her a candy apple. Or she bought it or something.
Could you imagine? They were out at 3 o'clock in the morning. That little girl should have been cozy in her bed at home.
Oh.
It's just crazy.
Unbelievable.
You are nuts.
Okay, yeah. So did you hear? On the news, they reported that when the police pulled her over, she said, "Why are you pulling me over? I'm a good driver."
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
She was a good driver.
Yeah.
She's just not old enough to drive, and she doesn't have a driver's license.
No. Now, with all the traffic on our roads these days, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, Lisa, I agree with you 100%. But I do have to laugh because my mother was taught how to drive at a very young age for the same reason way back in the day.
Really?
But back then, you know, in southern New Jersey, in those little towns, nobody was around. You might be the only car on the road.
Well, that wouldn't happen today.
No.
In New Jersey, not in, well, it shouldn't happen anywhere, actually. But it's quite unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she won't be doing that again. Hopefully
what
she'll be
thinking?
Off the
what
road.
Do these
I know.
People think? What goes through their head?
He's a bad parent, and he's a drunk loser. So that's pretty much summed it up.
There you go.
You know
well, now she's in the custody of her mother, and so hopefully she won't be driving again for a while.
Yeah.
I was also surprised to hear, you know, what an animal lover I am. I can't believe those exotic animals in Zanesville, Ohio.
Yeah, that was very, it's just unbelievable. It's so sad.
Why
I couldn't even look at it.
Yeah, I can't even watch it on TV.
Well, you know what I was surprised about? The first 911 call came in that evening just around dark. A neighbor man, you know, called 911 to say, "Hey, there's a bear loose." Can you imagine seeing bears and Bengal tigers and lions running loose?
No. I would stay in the house. I'd have everybody in my family stay in the house. But I don't think private citizens should be allowed to have exotic animals. That's crazy.
That is. And different states have different leniency laws. It's just
about 18 states that allow it or something.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Jack Hanna was there, and he actually, even though it was an awful thing, he agreed that the animals should have all been put down because there were too many. Well, because there were too many, and they could not capture them easily, and they were a danger to humans. So he said that they made the right decision, even though it's a really sad, terrible decision.
Well, you know, even the sheriff, Matt Lutz, I think his name was, you know, mm-hmm. mentioned that first they tried tranquilizers, but one of the Bengal tigers was shot with a tranquilizer gun and came at the sheriff's very aggressively. So that's, you know, what Jack Hanna was saying.
Yeah.
We did the best we could to protect the citizens in the area. I can't even imagine.
No.
Why, so really, why does somebody have to have exotic animals? That's the mindset I can't just rationalize.
I know. They get them as babies, and they think it's going to be like a dog. But alligators, tigers, monkeys, unbelievable.
How about a couple mm-hmm. years ago when the chimpanzee ate that lady's face off?
Right. She's still trying to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But last night in Zanesville, Ohio, they were still reporting that one monkey and one wolf were still on the loose. Mm-hmm. But today they did update it and say they believe that the monkey was eaten by one of the lions or tigers.
Oh, yeah. God.
I know.
Everything about it is horrible.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, girls, you know, this Halloween spectacular tonight, we've been planning it for a while. It's going to be great.
I'm
very, very excited.
Betty
Ann, start the night off for us.
Okay. Well, I would like to introduce our guest tonight. Chris Williams is the co-lead investigator of Ghost Hunters International. She's been listening to us chatter over here. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. We're all kind of like a little bit scared to talk to you because you spend a lot of time. Well, not in that sense. So, just because you spend a lot of time investigating some really scary places. So I wanted to, you know, find out, how did you get involved with that?
You know, it's funny because it's really, the whole story is kind of random. I had been into genealogy since I was 11, so I've always been big on history and mm-hmm. figuring out my roots and where my ancestors came from. So there's that part of it. But then I also grew up in a house that was very open to the idea of ghosts and hauntings. My mom grew up in a house that was active. My dad's family had his experiences. I had my own. And then I met Jane Grant maybe 3 years before they got Ghost Hunters. And they were talking to me about their group, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. It was one of those mm-hmm. things where I didn't know there's people actually crazy enough to be out there looking for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get involved at the time, but my schedule was just too insane. So it wasn't until 3 years into the show that I think it was halfway through the third season. That they were down a few team members, and they asked me to jump in. They figured that my background as far as research would help them with locations, and they felt that because I was coming from jobs that were considered a guy's world, I was a carpenter and flooring installer for 3 years, they knew I could kind of hold my own with the rest of the guys on the team. So it seemed to be like a natural fit.
Well, have you ever seen a ghost with your own eyes when you've been investigating?
God, it's so weird because I came into it a skeptic, and I'm still a skeptic. I'm still waiting for that one in-your-face thing that will no longer have me questioning. And I've seen some really strange things. I've seen, you know, human-shaped shadows that are about 6 feet tall walk out of one dark corner and disappear into another.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one of those things show up in my hotel room after an investigation. I've heard things moving. We've caught, there's one location Amy and I were investigating in Connecticut where we caught the door behind us moving that was wedged against the floor. So I've seen and experienced a lot of strange things, but I'm just so hard mm-hmm. on things. So I don't know what to make of it.
Okay. Well, where is the most haunted place in the world that you've ever been?
Oh, most haunted place in the world. In the States, I would say Waverly Hills, for sure.
Waverly Hill?
Yeah, Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, okay. What happened there?
Well, it's funny because a lot of what happened to me there was off camera. It was when it was another live show, a Halloween live show was my first one, and mm-hmm. all the cameras were down, the show was over, but that's when whatever was there decided to screw with us, and it just was like we hear footsteps coming down the hall, we saw things moving, we were hearing footsteps, and I remember Dustin and I grabbing all our stuff because we had one flashlight between the two of us, and we're on the fifth floor, mm-hmm. and we're both kind of nervous and laughing, like, now it's starting with us, like, now we're not ready, none of our gear is going. So yeah. we ended up getting down to the second floor, and we heard heavy footsteps come running up behind us, and I turned around thinking another one of our team members would be behind us, but there was nobody there. And there was just strange things like that going on pretty much all night, but it was always when cameras weren't going or one team was down. It was a weird place. It's a really weird place. It's one of the few places I've been to that I'll say where I felt like we were the ones being hunted. We weren't the hunters.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that these kind of paranormal beings or spirits, they know that you're trying to capture them so that they don't make themselves known until they know that you had turned your, you know, machines off, your recorders and cameras?
Yeah.
Do you think that they have that kind of consciousness?
You know, I think, and, you know, Waverly Hills is one place that made me think that that is possible. Mm-hmm. That they're very aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And they wait for us to not be ready.
Wow.
Do I believe every location we go into is haunted? No, I don't think every location is. And
no.
I think that's why I'm able to go into it with a level head. I think if you go in looking at it that way, it's a little easier to not be so jumpy.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you ever afraid that a ghost will follow you home from a haunted place?
I'm not. I mean, I had that one experience in a hotel room, and outside of that, I haven't had anything show up at my house. But we had weird stuff going on in my house before I started this, and now my parents mm-hmm. just blame it on me. Like,
so. Well, have you ever feared for your life when investigating, like, where you just wanted to run out as fast as you could because you were afraid that something was going to harm you, like, bodily?
The funny thing is with this stuff, because I go into it as a skeptic and because I don't see every location as haunted, it's kind of like I've always been the kind of show-me person.
Mm-hmm.
When something does happen, it startles you because you're not ready for it, and a lot of times you're not expecting it. But then the curious side of me kicks in. So
mm-hmm.
I was like, no, that couldn't have been what I saw. Is it a shadow from outside? Is it, you know, footsteps coming from floors above from another team? And then you start taking it apart, and by the time you get to the point where you realize you can't explain it, you've already been in the room for a while. So it's just like...
Yeah.
It's the things that scare me are animals and people. So it's like if there are people in the location and you didn't know it, some of these places we've been into, we found evidence of like homeless people living in there at some point. And sometimes you will run into people that you didn't expect to be in there, that's scary.
Which is scarier, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is there really something called dead time where ghosts or spirits are more active and it's like the best time to capture their presence?
I know some people believe that. I personally don't. I think it just mm-hmm. kind of happens as it happens, especially if you think about like a residual haunt that's not intelligent. It's on some sort of schedule or on some sort of pattern. A lot of people will say mm-hmm. it's kind of like a broken record. The intelligence stuff, I just feel like if it's going to mess with you, it's going to mess with you. It doesn't really matter the time. I know for us, a lot of the reasons why we'll investigate at night is at night it's easier to see shadows, and it's also mm-hmm. easier to see things that give off light. So it's for us, it's the best. Plus, it's quieter. You don't have as much traffic. You don't have as many people walking around. And if you think about it, especially in a residential home, a lot of people are at work during the day, so they're not going to experience these things until later on at night when they are home. I don't know if there's, I haven't noticed a specific time that things just start acting up out of nowhere. I think it just kind of happens as it happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, are places where you investigate, Are they always like old home or a home that has had previous owners, or like a location that might have some kind of history attached to it, where there, you know, was some type of, you know, facility, or people lived there, or some kind of historic thing happened, like maybe a nearby battle, kind of like Gettysburg, or like a prison. Have you ever gone to Eastern State Prison? Did you ever investigate that?
I did. I love Eastern State. I was actually there for an event, and during the event, there was three women who had seen a shadow person walking across the field, and they yelled at it. It acknowledged them, and took off and ran.
It did?
It did, and they were freaking out. I was laughing. I couldn't help it because I've seen this stuff before. But they were through the roof. They're excited. They really were. But, yeah, sometimes, I mean, we've been to houses that were brand new, just built, and they have activity in them. And a lot of it, you know, a lot of people believe is that whatever activity is in the house is actually attached to the land. So there could have been battles in the area. There could have been all sorts of things that happened in there. And the new homeowners wouldn't know a lot of times what happened on the land or how it could affect their house. It's hard with that too, because it's not like you can look into the history of the home. So it's just one of those things. It's everybody's still learning and everybody's still trying to figure it out. But yeah, sometimes it's not the house or the location; it's the actual land that it's sitting on.
The land. Well, these things that you call shadow people, is that something that you've seen frequently, like in a lot of different investigations that you've done?
I'd say I'd seen three, like, full-body-shaped people.
Mm-hmm.
One was in my hotel, one was at St. Augustine Lighthouse, and one was at Iron Island in Buffalo, New York. I've seen a few shadows with GHI, but I didn't get the clear shape that I saw at the other places. And it's funny because it's one of those things that people are still trying to figure out what they're all about and why they happen. I've heard some people say that they think it's something negative and it's something we should be fearful of, but then I've also heard other people say that it's a spirit that can't completely manifest itself into like a clear apparition. So there's a bunch of different theories and beliefs on it. Every time I've seen one, I wasn't fearful of it. The only time I was actually scared was to have this thing in my hotel room. Because it's one thing to go out looking for it. It's another when it comes looking for you.
When it shows up. And do you think that one that showed up in your hotel room followed you from your location that you were investigating?
I have no idea. I mean, it was the weirdest thing because it was the last night in St. Augustine. I'd seen my very first shadow ever at St. Augustine. So my last night in my hotel, I was in the room. I just turned my lights off. The only light that was on was a TV and my computer screen. I just turned my TV off, and I was sitting there, and I saw a person walk by my computer screen and blank it out for a second. And I was just sitting there like, okay, I'm going to ignore this. I laid back down, and I noticed my alarm clock was on, which I never use. I always use my phone. So I turned that off, and as soon as my head hit the pillow, my lamp turned on. And I was just kind of like, hell no.
Did you leave? Did you leave that room?
No, I rolled over and I just pretended it didn't happen.
Oh, I can't believe that, because I would have been out of there so fast. I would have been out in the car and down the street.
It was crazy. I had just started really at that point too, but it was just kind of like, I don't know. Like I said, the only reason I was fearful of it was because it was in my space. You know, it's not a place that I expected to see something like that, but outside of that, it didn't do anything to me, but it was weird. It was really weird.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you're a very brave person, and, you know, I could not do that, but you are very brave, and I commend you, and I really enjoy watching the show, and keep up the good work. I know that Lisa's waiting to ask you a couple things, so I'll hand you over to Lisa now. But thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you.
Hi, Chris. Where do you go internationally? Have you been like to Transylvania or anything like that?
I haven't. They went there before I moved over. We have been, let's see, what hasn't aired yet, we've gone to American Samoa. We've done Italy, France, Belgium, Canada, Peru, Belize. Before that, we're in Ukraine, Denmark, Poland.
Wow, you've been around.
Everywhere, yeah.
Where have you found the most ghosts in all those places? Europe or Asia or South America?
Oh, I can't say because I think some of our best cases are coming up in February. I have noticed a difference between the states, though, and internationally as far as the cases I find are creepier because the history behind it is so much bigger than what we're dealing with in the states. In the states, we go into a location and you hear, oh, this was built in 1790, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, this place is old. Mm-hmm. But I remember on my first few cases walking into a castle, and I was like, oh, someone was just built. They're like, oh, 1190. Like, it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just dealing with a lot more, you know, wars and religious battles and mm-hmm. dungeons and executions and just a lot of stuff that you don't hear about in the states.
Yeah. Do you guys go to cemeteries and hang out?
We don't. No. No.
No, because I had heard there was one on the radio one night. Did they go and they try to see if they could hear stuff?
Yeah. I know a lot of people that do that. We tend to try to stick with indoor locations because it's kind of hard to control locations that are outdoors as far as animals and people and traffic and all this stuff depending
on
where you are.
Oh, right, okay. Nancy, do you have any questions?
I do. Chris, it's so nice. I love tweeting with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm on there a lot.
Yeah, it's fun. It was fun to see them up on your website. I love your website.
Oh, thank you.
Well, just taking it away for 1 second, I am just honored, we are honored to be talking to, am I correct with this, the Queen of Tomboys.
The Queen of Tomboys?
Yeah, did I read that someplace?
I try. You know, it's one of those things where I just grew up in a house where my mom was a tomboy growing up, and my dad was always the type of person where, you know, just because you're a female doesn't mean you can't do things. You can't do things for yourself. And I used to work on cars with him. I played basketball with the guys in the neighborhood, and I was a carpenter and flooring installer for 3 years. I was just always very hands-on and physical, and I liked keeping them on their toes and proving them wrong when they said I couldn't. So I kind of, I don't know if you call it stubborn. I don't know what you call it, but I try. I try my best to keep up.
I think it's great. And on your website, I love the car, the picture of the car that you worked on with your dad.
Yeah, she was my baby.
Yeah, that's really cool. My husband and I like cars also.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. It's nice to see something that's just in really bad shape and then get it looking beautiful. The car that was on there was my first car ever. So that was, it was a fun project to do with my dad.
Well, that's exciting. And it really touched our hearts to read on your website how tight you are with your family and that you consider yourself daddy's little girl.
I am. I always said I'm daddy's little girl, but I'm not his princess.
Exactly. Love that.
You know. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice having a close family. It's kind of sad because I know a lot of people my age that unfortunately didn't grow up in a situation like I have. So I consider myself very fortunate.
Well, that's exciting. Well, you have it must be really fun coming from New England and then going off on all these adventures all over the world.
It's so wild. It's so wild. Like, I remember being a kid in high school wanting so badly to just get out of my town. It was too small. And I think a lot of kids feel that way after a while. And it's not like you don't like your hometown. You just need to get out for a while. So had somebody told me then that I would have been traveling the States with Ghost Hunters and then traveling the world with Ghost Hunters International, I would have told them they were crazy. I honestly never saw anything like this coming, but been quite the ride, and I hope it goes on for a while longer.
Well, it's really exciting. Well, Betty Ann has another question for you. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
Chris, I wanted to ask you said that women saw a shadow person yell at them at Eastern State Penitentiary. Is that right?
It didn't yell at them. They yelled at it because they didn't know if it was another person at the event. So this thing stopped and looked at them. And then when they started running at it, it ran off and ran into a wall and just disappeared.
Okay. You know, I have never gone there, and I have to tell you, I could be there in 15 minutes because I'm that close.
Yeah.
But I have never gone because I was always afraid to go there. It's just too scary. And now I know that I won't go there.
Oh, you should go. Actually, as far as I know, I'm hearing that I might be there the weekend of November 12th and 13th, or that weekend is supposed to be there. I don't know the exact dates yet.
Road trip, Betty Ann?
Yeah,
maybe we can
visit.
No, I'm not
doing
that.
We're very close.
I'll be scared.
Wait a minute. Chris, you're going to be at Eastern State Penitentiary on November 12th. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I should be. I gotta figure out the dates, but from what I'm hearing, I'm supposed to be there that weekend, yeah.
Oh, well, then maybe we can visit you.
We're very close. I'll sit this one out.
Oh, we like to get pictures.
Come on.
We like to post pictures.
You see, I would go with, I wouldn't go myself, but I would go with a trained professional who knows how to deal with shadow people.
Wait a second. I'm getting confused. What's the difference between a shadow person and a ghost? Or is it the same thing?
God, there's all these, like, technicalities with the names. So when you hear apparition, it's supposed to look like a real solid person, but they don't know the identity of it. When you hear ghost, the ghost of somebody. So people say that it's the ghost of so-and-so. They know the identity of the person. A shadow person, it's so crazy because I remember when I first started working with TAPS, I had asked Steve about it, and he's like, I'm like, how do you see a shadow in the dark? It doesn't make any sense. And he's like, it's darker than the dark, and you can see the shape, and you can see its movement. It's just a solid mass of blackness. You can't see through it. And I was like, all right, whatever. So it wasn't until I actually started seeing them that it was, they're just very, there's no way of explaining them. It's probably one of it's the craziest thing I've seen so far, because I haven't seen an apparition yet. But they are pretty wild.
Wow. Well, I've never seen a shadow person. I think I would like to see one, but with a trained professional. And I will have on my religious items, you know, so that I will be protected. And, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to know that I've been saying the rosary.
I'm sure.
I'm holding my cross. And I've been saying the rosary for parts of this interview, girl. Sorry to be so honest.
Okay.
But
that's
anyway,
right.
Hey, Chris, you know what I also loved? I hope you didn't mind me quoting you. A chick is tough but still feminine. Oh, we love that. We had to post that on Twitter.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one. So from time to time, we do like to meet our guests and have pictures taken and post them on Facebook for our fans to see. So it would be great fun to meet you sometime. Would you please join us again?
Absolutely, yeah. Anytime you guys would mind having me on, I'm up for it.
Oh, we would love that. That's Chris Williams from the Sci-Fi Channel, Ghost Hunters International. Thank you, Chris.
Bye, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Happy hunting.
Bye, Chris.
Happy ghost hunting.
Thanks, guys.
Well, we would like to thank our brand new sponsor, Intimacy Bras. Their link is on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. You can also enjoy their chat with us from September 15th. You just click on the date right on our website. Oh, girls, are you ready? We're going next door. We're going to be joined.
I can't wait.
I've been dying. Okay, so we are going next door with a costume designer. Bridget Marquardt is here with us tonight. We loved her on The Girls Next Door. We applauded her, actually, during the program when she left to finish her school studies that evening. Do you remember that, Betty Ann?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
She missed the photo shoot.
Yeah, the photo shoot, right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
Oh, we were just, could not watch, miss watching the Travel Channel, those sexy beaches. Now she's
yep.
designing or helping to develop with Roma costumes, her Halloween costumes. Hi, Bridget. Welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're thrilled.
Hi, Bridget. Hi, it's my favorite time of the year.
We know. We remember watching you on The Girls Next Door. We didn't miss a show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, loved all of that. What was that like all those years on The Girls Next Door celebrating Halloween? It looked like
gosh.
So much fun.
Well, we had so much fun shooting the show and doing all the fun things that we got to do together. We had so many opportunities. But also, the mansion is the perfect place to celebrate Halloween. It already has, I mean, usually you don't think of the Playboy Mansion as a spooky place, but if you really look at it, it does have a spooky, old world kind of, that it has that gothic Tudor style of architecture. So it's perfect for Halloween and all the Halloween parties, murder mystery parties, and fun costume events.
Well, they were so much fun to watch and to see Heff and all of you girls, Kendra and everybody. It was just fun to watch that. Have you always loved Halloween?
I've always loved Halloween ever since I was little. I love all things spooky as well. So when I was little, I used to love to get scary movies and invite all my cousins over. And we'd try and stay up every night, every weekend. We thought, we're going to stay up all night and watch horror movies. But we never made it all night, but we always tried and we always thought we were going to. And
aww.
I had so much fun with that. I grew up with 13 girl cousins that were all about the same age as me. And so we had fun staying up, watching scary movies, getting all dressed up and all meeting at my grandma's house and going trick-or-treating together. And so it's always been scary movies and Halloween have always been kind of a fun part of my life and growing up and something I always looked forward to.
What was one of the very first Halloween costumes you have in your memory?
Oh, gosh, there's two that stand out. One is my mom dressed me up. She curled my hair up. She did makeup on me and put me in this, it was actually just one of her skirts, but I wore it as a dress, and we put my dad's socks in as boobs. And so I was like a Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, cute.
And I remember that, and I loved it, and I thought it was so cool. And walking around in my mom's high heels that were, like, you know, four times too big for me, and I just thought that was awesome. And then the other costume, I did for, like, 1 year, ballet, when I was like 4 years old, and we got these lollipop costumes that were sequined, and I just thought that was the coolest thing, and I wanted to wear it every day, including Halloween.
Oh, it's so fun, you know, just to dress up and wear your costumes. Well, we love your website.
Oh, thank you.
It's so fun. Those cupcakes and sweet treats look so delicious.
I know, makes you hungry, huh? Gives you
it
sweet
does.
Tooth.
Yeah, hey. It's fun tonight. This is our Halloween spectacular, and we just got finished talking to the Queen of the Tomboys. Now we're talking to the Queen of Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were talking to Chris Williams?
Yes.
I know Chris.
You
I,
do?
I
oh,
her,
wish we knew. We would have had you on with her.
I know. I thought about that after the fact. I told her I want to go do an episode of Ghost Hunters with her.
You'd be perfect.
I know. It would be so fun.
You know, just watching I've been doing research and I've seen your videos for your Roma costumes. Oh, my gosh, a couple times I was getting scared. You're running through the hallways and then you're seen in different Halloween costumes.
Yeah, that was so fun to shoot. We, after all the costumes were finished, my boyfriend's a director, so he actually directed it, and we went to this creepy hotel out in the middle of Death Valley. It's called the Amargosa, and we spent 2 days there with a film crew, and we shot that, and it was so much fun, and it's a video of the ultimate nightmare, basically. You fall asleep, and you wake up to 17 different Bridgets.
I loved it, though. It was really fascinating. Fascinating, and the costumes are gorgeous.
Thank you.
Well, you're so lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were my favorite always on The Girls Next Door.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite costume?
Oh, gosh, I think the schoolgirl, because I'm a teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, so I like the schoolgirl.
Yeah. It was fun designing all the costumes. I always, I love Halloween costumes. I love dressing up. I love having theme parties. It doesn't even have to be for Halloween. It can be, you know, St. Patrick's Day. It can just be a murder mystery party or whatever, and I love coming up with, like, a fun outfit. And I'm the kind of girl that, like, if I'm going out to dinner in a Mexican food place, I want to put on, like, my little señorita outfit, and my boyfriend's like, Bridget, you can't wear that. People are going to think you work there.
Yeah.
So, I just love to theme and dress up for everything, though. And I had always thought about doing my own line of Halloween costumes, but it was always something that I thought, yeah, I'm going to do that someday. And one night I was having dinner with a couple of my girlfriends, and they were like, why not now? And I was like,
yeah.
You're right. Why not now? I didn't have an answer for that. Why not now? And so I went home and I researched a couple of different, I always go to the Halloween conventions and stuff, so I'm very familiar with all the different brands out there. And I was talking to a few different companies about it, and I met with Roma. Sam is the owner of Roma. I met with Sam, and he does everything. He manufactures everything here in the United States, right here in Burbank, actually. I could be really hands-on. He was excited about really taking my ideas and developing them, and I thought, this is the perfect connection right here. So Sam and I started working together, and we created the Bridget by Roma line. And even though I use his expertise in helping design and everything, a lot of them are ideas that I brought with me from costumes that I had previously designed to wear to the mansion parties. So a lot of those we put into the line. So, like, I did a sexy Hef costume that I actually wore to Hef's birthday party a few years ago, and a mermaid costume that I wore to Kendra's luau birthday party. And there's a costume that was inspired by Holly. She wore, like, a peacock costume to the Midsummer Night Dream party. And I called her and I said, I really want to put a peacock costume in my line. And I want to kind of, you're my inspiration for it. And I want to make sure that's okay with you. And she was like, oh, my God, yes, I love it. So
we think that's beautiful. We have that one up on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a really pretty costume. It's one of our number one sellers, and it's just really fun.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I love the front and the back view. We have that up on our website with links for your website as well as for Roma Costumes.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Well, I'm Nancy, and it's been such an honor to chat with you. So I hope you join us again sometime. Betty
Ann
wants to talk with you.
Okay.
Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I have to tell you a little secret, and I'm not sure that Nancy knows this. I know Lisa knows. I was a Playboy bunny years ago.
Oh, yeah?
I remember, Betty Ann. I knew you then.
Okay. I didn't know if you knew
no.
or if you remembered.
So I remember.
The club.
I worked at Playboy Casino in Atlantic City.
Oh, fun.
Years ago. Yeah. And I know that you wore the bunny outfit before for appearances, because I saw that you had it on the show. Did you ever learn any of the bunny etiquette, like the bunny dip?
Oh, absolutely. And I've trained, not fully been in charge of training, but I've taught other girls about the bunny dip and the proper way to sit. You can't sit down in the bunny costume, but you can perch, and all the different
mm-hmm.
etiquette with it. Yeah, for sure. Anytime any girl is fitted for the bunny costume, they have to go through all of the etiquette.
Yeah, it's quite a costume.
It is quite a costume, and it's really fun, and it's an honor to wear it. And I got to keep my bunny costume, which is pretty rare. Most girls do not get to keep the costume, but it's one of my prized possessions.
Yeah, I didn't get to keep mine. I do have the cuffs and the collar and the cufflinks and my little name tag that you pin on the side. But
yeah,
my name was... Should I say it?
Yeah.
Did you use a different name?
Yes. We had different names because no one was supposed to know who we were.
Oh,
my
I didn't
name
know
was,
that.
Yes, my name was Bunny Bambi.
Aw. That's cute.
But it's just a little aside that I thought you might get a little laugh out of, but...
Yeah, did you watch the Playboy Club when it was on TV?
I did. I was loving it, and it got canceled. I was so sad.
Yeah, but you know what? I heard that they're going to try and sell it to a cable network. So hopefully it'll be on, you know, one of maybe, I don't know what they're trying to sell it to, but maybe HBO or Showtime or FX or something like that.
Well, I hope so, because I really enjoyed it. I mean, I was, you know, watching it because I knew a lot of the stuff that was going on with the girls and their outfits and all that, and it was just really cool.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed when it wasn't on anymore. But I wanted to talk to you a little. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Betty Ann. And, you know, we also wanted to say that as former NFL cheerleaders for the Philadelphia Eagles, we were also at practice one night when several of us were chosen to go for a photo shoot at Playboy.
Oh, fun. That's exciting.
That was fun. Now, we did not make the issue, but it was still fun.
Yeah, it's still a fun experience. I mean, I tested for Playmate, and they flew me out to L.A., and we did the photo shoot, hair and makeup photo shoot and everything, and I didn't get it my first time. I went home, and a year later, I got a letter from them saying I didn't make it in, and I was so devastated. But I guess it all worked out.
Oh, it definitely worked out. We love you, Bridget. You're so cool. You're my favorite.
Oh, you're my favorite
on the show. My daughter, I have to tell you this, my daughter loves you also, and she's going to wear your French maid costume.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it looks so fabulous. She's going out in New York for Halloween with her friends. She goes out every year, and she's all set to go. She got her, you know, her French maid, and she went out and got these perfect shoes, and she just looks hot. Now, my personal favorite out of all the costumes is Fruit Cup. Can you tell us about the inspiration for that? Because I love that one. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, Fruit Cup has a story to it. I was trying to do a new costume for a Midsummer Night Dream party, and I wanted to do something that I hadn't seen done for that party before. And the Midsummer Night Dream party is very whimsical and very fantasy. And I thought, oh, I want to do something very colorful and bright. And then I just started to do this fruit thing, and I actually made it myself. I made the bra with all, like, the fruit hanging from it, and then the skirt. I wanted, like, a banana skirt, and just, like, really fun and cutesy, but still sexy and very colorful. And I started making that, and then I was shooting my Beaches show, and I was unable to go to the Midsummer party. And so it's been sitting in my closet without a party to wear it to. And so when I started doing the costume line, I brought that, and I was like, I really want to put Fruit Cup in there. It's one of the costumes that I never got to wear and always wanted to. And so I was happy that Sam was able to put that together and add it to the line.
Oh, I love it. It's just adorable. Now, are you going out for Halloween this Halloween? Do you have, like, some really fantastic plans?
I have a busy schedule for Halloween, and it's already started, but basically on Tuesday, I'm hosting my own, I host an annual pumpkin carving party at my house, and it's, like, just for the girls. I invite about 15 girls over. We carve pumpkins, have a few drinks. My house is all decorated for Halloween, and then we watch scary movies, so that's always really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day I leave for Sacramento, and I'm going to be hosting, on Wednesday I do press all day, but on Thursday I'm hosting an event at a casino just outside of Sacramento. And that's kind of cool for me because I grew up in Lodi, which is just outside of Sacramento, and I went to college in Sacramento, so I kind of feel like it's a homecoming for me, and a lot of my old friends and a lot of my family are coming to see me there, so that'll be really fun. That's Thursday night, and then Friday, I'm hosting an event here in Hollywood. On Saturday, I'm going to Vegas to host at Planet Hollywood. And on Sunday, I'm going to Calgary to host a Halloween party in Canada. And then on Monday, it's yet to be determined, but I might be in West Virginia, in Morgantown, the college town.
Oh, boy,
so
you're going to have a lot
schedule.
Of fun.
Yeah,
it's
and
busy,
then,
but
you know,
fun.
My poor boyfriend, his birthday's November 1st.
Aw, that's all right. You can relax on that day.
Yeah.
You'll just have a nice, quiet dinner, the two of you, for his birthday.
Yeah.
Now, do you still keep in touch with Tess?
I do. you know, I don't go over there nearly that much anymore, but I live mm-hmm. only about 10 minutes away from the mansion, and I check in on him every now and then. I pop in. I go to some of the events still. I actually did the launch of my Halloween costume line in conjunction with, like, a fight night event going on at the mansion. We did that in August, so I was there doing that, and he came out to support it, and I was actually supposed to go there this past weekend, and then things came up, and I wasn't able to go, but, yeah, I definitely still keep in touch with Hef, and we're still close. And very good friends.
Oh, that's nice. That's really great.
Yeah.
Do you still keep in touch with Holly and Kendra?
Kendra, not so much. Our schedules are just totally different. Our lifestyles are totally different. She's busy with the baby and everything. Holly mm-hmm. and I talk still. We probably text message at least 5 days a week. We're constantly, like, mm-hmm. little inside jokes or whether it's Twitter or whatever, we're in constant mm-hmm. contact. So, yeah.
I have one more thing I wanted to ask you before Lisa comes on to ask you a couple questions. I remember there was an episode where there was a seance at the mansion.
Yes.
And is there a ghost there, since we're talking about Halloween tonight and ghostly stories?
Well, I believe in ghosts, and I believe that I have seen a ghost at the mansion before, which is one of the reasons that we had ghost hunters come to the mansion and paranormal investigators come to the mansion, and we did a seance. The seance that we did, I think, was a little more tongue-in-cheek. I don't think there was too much credibility to that. It was just mm-hmm. more fun to do and cute for the show. But the paranormal investigators we had come were legit paranormal investigators, and they didn't necessarily find anything weird about the mansion, but they did mm-hmm. find that I had a weird reading with the electromagnetic, the EMF meter, and they felt that if anything was going on at the mansion, that I was the conduit through which it was happening. And I've had that happen before in my life. It seems like I've had a lot of experiences with the paranormal, and so it makes sense that I could be the conduit.
Wow. You think you're, like,
scary.
The sensitive one? You know, like,
exactly.
You know how some people are more in tune to that, I don't know, that other sense, or you're just more
right.
sensitive to, wow, that's kind of freaky.
On one hand, if you really think about it, it's a little bit scary, but on the other hand, it's
yeah.
kind of fun, and I feel like I probably wouldn't be a believer if I didn't have those experiences and everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I believe that. Now, just one more thing. You have that beautiful cat named Wednesday.
And that's my dog.
Okay. Oh, the dog's name is Wednesday, and then you have the beautiful black cat. What was the cat's name?
Gizmo.
Oh, that's right, Gizmo. Okay, so it's Wednesday. Wednesday had a modeling career, or has one. Is
yes.
she still modeling?
No, she just did the one thing, and that was it. Now she's just mommy's model.
Okay, well, do you still make her wear, like, clothes and outfits? Because I remember seeing one episode where you put an outfit on her and she just went totally limp and refused to move. She became
dogatonic.
Like, yes.
I don't typically dress my dog in outfits.
Okay.
It's really, really rare. I did it that day because it was Easter, and I found the cutest little bunny costume, and I thought, how perfect. It's Easter Sunday. We're at the Playboy mm-hmm. Mansion. I'm going to put Winnie in a bunny costume. Well, little did I know that she absolutely hates it and just goes completely dogatonic when she gets put in outfits. So now I just do it for fun occasionally. Like, for instance, we bought our pets, Gizmo, Wednesday, and I have a new cat now. It's actually my boyfriend's cat named Wizard. But we bought them all little dinosaur costumes, so they're all going to be dinosaurs for Halloween. And we're going to put them in them and take a quick picture and then take them out of them. So I don't dress my dog up and make them wear them for very long, but I do dress them up and take a photo really quick and then let them off the hook.
Oh, okay. Because that was hysterical. I mean, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I agree, and we almost didn't even get that shot because the cameraman, the producer, and I were on the floor laughing, like crying hysterical, that we almost just like had to just stop what we were doing and just laugh.
That was great, though. You gotta love that. That's just the best.
I know. She's so cute.
Yes, absolutely. And what kind of dog is that before I hand you over to Lisa?
She is a miniature Pekingese, and they're called sleeve Pekingese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. She's adorable. Now I'm going to hand you over to Lisa. Okay, here. Go ahead, Lisa. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Bridget. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I want to hear about your travels. You've been to some cool places.
I have. We got to travel a little bit with Hef. We went to, you know, Europe and everything and did some really cool things. But doing Bridget's Sexiest Beaches on the Travel Channel was the most incredible experience. I got to go so many places. We were in Morocco and Croatia, Australia, Thailand, Turks and Caicos, Spain. I mean, the list goes on, and it was incredible.
Which was
incredible.
Your favorite beach? Which was the sexiest beach?
Let's see here. It's so tough because there's you know, relaxing, there's clubbing, there's so many different beaches, and each one was so different. But I would say probably my all-around favorite was Croatia.
Why?
It was just completely unique. It wasn't your typical sand beach. It was like pebble beaches, and the water was crystal clear because there's no sand sediment. The water is, you're standing in it, and you can see your feet at the bottom, and it was incredible. The old city of Dubrovnik is still like a walled city with a drawbridge going over and a moat, and it was just an amazing experience. It was so old world, but still hip and trendy, and I felt like I was onto something new because it hasn't really caught on in the States that much to go there as a vacation place, but the Europeans already know about it, and they're there. And so it was really fun and hip and like a new thing.
How about it? Where'd you go in Spain? My son's going to be studying in Spain for 6 months, so he's going to want to go to a cool beach. What would you suggest in Spain?
Well, in Spain, we went to Barcelona, Mallorca, and Ibiza, and so it depends on what you want. I mean, he probably, I don't know him, but probably is going to like Ibiza.
That's where they were planning on going. I wanted to see if you were going to pick the same one.
Is a party island. It is,
okay.
I mean, the clubs, it's a funny schedule there. You go to dinner around 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to a bar, which is not to be confused with a club. It's a bar, and you do pre-drinks. And then you go, and you do that around midnight to like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then you go to the club around 3 in the morning. And the clubs are done around 8, 9 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go over to this, like, they have like a little, really cute little village. And they have this amazing French bakery there. And that's like the after spot where everybody hits that for like coffee and pastries. And then you hang out on the beach all day.
Oh, God, it sounds like it's a place he wants to go.
Yeah, no sleep. But then there's Mallorca, which is a little bit more romantic. There's a party side to it, too, but it's a little bit more romantic. It's just absolutely beautiful, and it's incredible. I would say it's a little bit more of a couple's place, though.
No, he's a college kid. He'll want to go to Ibiza.
Yeah, for sure.
How you pronounce it? I think I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Well, Ibiza is definitely the way a lot of people say it, but I think they kind of say it with a slight lisp, sort of. Like, it's Ibiza.
Tell us about your Bridget watch.
Oh, that was just a limited edition watch that I did with Pascal Mouad. Mouad is a jeweler, and he does a lot of jewelry for royal families and that kind of thing. So when he approached me and said, I have this idea of doing like a limited edition watch with you that you could totally design, something really girly, something your style, and I was wondering if you'd be interested, and I thought, oh, that'd be kind of fun. I've never thought about designing a watch before, but that would be fun to do. And so we just did 1,000 pieces, limited edition. It's an oversized rhinestone watch. It has kind of like funky Alice in Wonderland style numbers on it and dials. And then the bands are changeable. So it comes with three colors, white, black, and baby pink. And so you can change them out to match your outfits. And it can also, it can be casual everyday watch, or it's with the crystals and everything. It's nice enough to wear out too.
Wow, sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it was fun.
Where can someone get it?
It's available only on my website right now, which is BridgetMarquardt.com.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's just a limited edition, and I think there's only probably, I don't know how many are left, but not that many. So that's the only spot that they're available right now.
Okay, okay. Well, Bridget, this has been an honor. I know we've all been so excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much, guys,
for taking the time to come on our show.
You're welcome.
Girls, you have anything else you want to say to Bridget before we let her go?
Yes, join us again.
I will.
Good. You're so fun.
You're
Thank
lovely.
You, guys.
Adorable.
Love you, Bridget. You're great.
Have a great Halloween.
You too.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Good night. How cute is she? Adorable.
Oh, darling. Darling, darling.
Yes.
We do have Bridget's links on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. So everyone listening can find out more about her travels, her costumes, and this watch, the Bridget watch.
There you go.
So that's great. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight on Chit Chat Cafe Live. It was great to have this Halloween spectacular. We are very excited to have you join us, and we would like to thank our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Interest Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. We're thanking Corey, our producer. You can enjoy Corey King's show on Artist First every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And stay tuned for the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark.
We would like to end with a quote from a professor at Columbia University. It's for Halloween. Clothing makes a statement, but costumes tell a story. Now go do something wonderful.